Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. And what a blessing it is, just every opportunity we have to be in church. You can't get this anywhere else. What you get at church, you're just not going to find it anywhere else. And it's because God's established His church and has promised that He'd be in the midst with us when we assemble in His name and have church. And it's a blessing to have that presence of the Lord in this place. If you have your Bibles with you, look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 1. Luke in chapter 1. On Wednesday nights, we've been going through and studying on the life of John the Baptist. The life of John the Baptist. And the first thing we wanted to do is to establish who John was. Who John was. And so we studied what Jesus said about John the Baptist. Now, what a powerful passage of Scripture that was. And in the Gospels, when Jesus is describing, first of all, what John wasn't, and then what John was. And so he helps us to understand that he said there was none greater than John the Baptist. For Christ to say that about all the prophets of the Old Testament. Think of all the, there was not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. And then he said that he was the messenger that would come before him. That was prophesied in the Old Testament. And so we studied some of those things. And Matthew, just stay there in Luke. I'm just kind of bringing you up to where we're at now. But in Matthew chapter 11, in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 13, it says, "For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John." Now that was important. That's what we taught on last Wednesday night. A very powerful message there concerning what Jesus said about John's coming. Not only was there not a greater prophet, and that included all of the Old Testament prophets of Elijah and Jeremiah, Isaiah. I mean, you can name any of them. And he said, John, there was not a greater than John. And then he said, for you that can have an ear to hear, he was the one, the messenger that was prophesied to come before me. And then he said there in verse 13, all the prophets and the law prophesied. That means that they said they give prophecies of what was to come. Until John. Things changed. John was not prophesying as what was to come. He was preaching on who was here. Amen. And so we find that the New Testament church age was ushered in by John the Baptist. And he was called John the Baptist because he was baptizing. He came doing something that none of the Old Testament prophets did. He came preaching that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The very same message that Jesus came and preached. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the very first message that he gave to his disciples, he said, this is what I want you to go out and proclaim. This is the message I want you to preach, that the repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. Jesus Christ came. He brought the ways of God down to man. The Old Testament just prophesied of his coming. It was a glimpse. The Bible says it was a school teacher, schoolmaster, to prepare us for this church age, which was what's all about. What's taking place in this church age is exactly what was established from the foundations of the earth. That's what the Bible reveals to us. And so now John is here. And so it was God's design that John would be the one that would usher in the New Testament church age and pointing to Jesus as being here. The preaching changed. There was no prophesying because the prophecies had been fulfilled in the coming of Christ. He says, up until John, you had the prophets prophesying and had the law preparing us. Praise the Lord. If I'm not careful, I will go back and preach that again because that is a great truth. Great truth that we went through and studied. He was compared to Elijah, but he was not Elijah. And we looked at that last week. Luke chapter 1 verse 17, it says, and he shall go before him, John shall go before the Messiah. This is what the angel told his parents. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias or Elijah. Not that he was, but he would be like him. And he would go in the spirit, the very same powerful spirit and attitude of Elijah. And then he would have the very same power because he was empowered by the Spirit of God as Elijah. Okay, so now that everybody got that. That brings us up to where we're at now. Jesus told us who John was. And at the end, he told us exactly what that he would change everything. There is coming the new and living way, which was in the Old Testament prophesied about the coming of Jesus Christ, who would usher in the New Testament or the new and living way. Now we go back, and now let's read what the Bible says about John the Baptist, the coming of John the Baptist. Where did it start? Now, Jesus told us everything about him, but tonight we're going to be looking at the coming of John. Stand with me. Let's read Luke chapter 1, verse 5, 6, and 7. If I get through it, we'll be doing good. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, it's a blessing to have this opportunity to be in church. And I pray that you'd bless each one that's here that's taken advantage of their opportunity to be in church tonight. And I pray that you would just increase their faith, give them what they have need of tonight. I pray that you would empower the teaching and the preaching of your word once again. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. So we find here the actual coming of John the Baptist is revealed. I think Luke gives us the best account of his birth and the coming of John the Baptist. But John was the natural born son of Zacharias and Elizabeth. He was a natural born son. He was actually the son of Zacharias. Unlike the Messiah, unlike Jesus Christ, he was born of a virgin. He was the only begotten, the one of a kind. No other one was like him because he did not have a sin nature. He was not man's child. He was God's child. God became flesh and dwelt among us. It was God living in human flesh. Jesus Christ was. What a blessing to know that. But John would be the one that would point the world to Christ. He was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you think, well, he could have been Elijah reincarnated. The Bible doesn't preach and teach or reveal reincarnation. That is not of the Bible. God does not do that. Amen. There is no reincarnation of individuals. John was like Elijah. He came in the spirit and power. We've already studied that. But John himself was the natural born son of Zacharias and Elizabeth. And what is important here is, knowing what Jesus said about John, that the Bible reveals and brings to us, records his birth. And not only does it record his birth and all the situation by which he came into this world, but it reveals to us much about his mother and father. Now, that's not a coincidence. God has a purpose for everything that he has revealed to us in the Word of God. John's ministry would begin with his parents. Whether you understand it or not, God's will for your life begins with your parents. Children are a heritage of the Lord. Every person, every human being must be raised. God designed it that way. He designed the man. He designed the woman. He designed them to have children. And he designed them to need to be raised. Every human being outside of the very first Adam and Eve was born to their parents a blessing of God, a heritage of the Lord, and every human being has a need to be raised. If left by to themselves, left to fend on their own, they would die. They have a need of a mother. They have a need of a father. It's God's design. And so this great prophet, John the Baptist, Jesus said, told us much about him and understanding all the prophecies, but now we look at his life and how he came into the life, and it was important for us to understand that he was given to two individuals who had a love for God to be raised. God would equip John in the womb. God knew exactly what his purpose would be for John, and he allowed his mother and father to give him this physical body, and he possibly even chose that as well, to know of his physical stature, to be able to accomplish what he would have to do physically. And then God gave him the talents and the abilities that he would have. God is the one that put the spirit of the life, the spirit into that physical body of John in the womb. And we know that it was there because when he came in contact with Jesus while they were still in the womb, John leaped in the womb of his mother. God instilled within him everything that he would need to be to accomplish God's will for his life. Can I tell you tonight that every one of us, God placed within the womb of your mother everything that you would need to be able to accomplish what God has for you to accomplish in your physical life. Your physical abilities, your physical talents, your spiritual talents, whatever it might be, God has put all that within you inside of the womb of your mother. And can I tell you, God had a purpose for John the Baptist, but it helps us to understand God has a purpose for every child. And the very first purpose that he has is to be a blessing to their parents. And with that blessing to their parents, every parent will have a responsibility and will answer to God for what they do with that life that God has entrusted them with. Every parent. Should not look to have children. You're better off not having children than to have children and not raise them according to God's purpose and plan. Because as God has given to every parent the blessing, but also the responsibility to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that is God's will for every child to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, every child is not raised that way because God has given a free will, but every parent will answer one day to God for how they raised or failed to raise their child. Not according to how you feel like you ought to raise your child. Not according to how Spock said you need to raise your child. Not according to the philosophies of whatever generation that you might have been raised in, or whatever state in the United States, or whatever country that you were raised in. Not according to that. You will be given account for what God said you ought to be, how you ought to be raising your children. Mark it down. According to the scriptures, that's exactly what will happen. You won't give an account for how they turn out. Every loving parent wants their children ought to want their children to turn out the very best. But they'll have their own free will. But you will give an account for your part in raising that child. God would have equipped John in the womb, but he would still have to be brought up. From infancy, he would still need his mother's milk. From infancy, he would still need to be taught the three R's. Amen? Well, maybe not the three R's at that time. But he would have to be taught those things. Certain things. He would have to have things instilled within him because his brain would not be mature when he was a baby. His brain is not mature in a teenager, even though they think it is. That brain is continuing to mature. Every wise parent understands that child needs to be raised. A child should never control what goes on in the home. The home should not revolve around the children's desires and whims. The child needs to be raised by a parent who looks to God and understands that He has a plan, God has a design in how these children need to be raised. I believe that all children will have a greater opportunity to accomplish God's perfect will for their lives if they're raised right. A greater opportunity if they're raised right. Now, I do know, and as we study, God's grace is sufficient even for those who have not been. We have many here would testify. You might not have been raised according to the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Beyond your control, it's not a child's control how mom and dad raise that child. God's grace is sufficient. Amen. God can still work through you because the Bible says in the book of Psalms that God will be the father to the fatherless. Is it God's will for them to be fatherless? No. But when they don't, the parents do not do their job, God can still, through His grace, give you opportunities. It will be more difficult. If you're not raised in a Christian home, if you're not raised to understand the Word of God, you might go through a life of rebellion, and you might go through a life not even knowing about God, not knowing about the Holy Spirit of God dwelling that could dwell within you, not knowing what's right and what's wrong. You're just taking the world's view of things, and you might have to go through a lot of things and cause a lot of scars on your physical body, but through God's grace, He can still work to get you to accomplish a will that He has for you to accomplish. But Ephesians in chapter 6, and not spending a lot of time here, but I want you to see this. Most of you know this. But Ephesians in chapter 6 very clearly reveals God's will for every child. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, can a toddler understand that? No. A parent needs to understand that and make sure that toddler obeys. He can't understand that. He has a sinful nature and he thinks the world revolves around him, or she thinks the world revolves around her, and she wants everything for herself. And the only way that they're going to be taught to the opposite, taught how they need to discipline themselves, is through the discipline and the upbringing of a wise parent. Honor thy father and mother. Are they going to understand that on their own? No. But God tells you that they are to honor you, and when they show you disrespect, they need to be disciplined for that. You allow them to show disrespect in the toddler stage, I guarantee you, you're going to have a life of a child that's going to disrespect and dishonor you as a parent. And it's a whole lot easier to direct their free wills when they're little than when they'll be when they get older. No parent ought to ever let their child dishonor them. Because the Bible says, which is the first commandment with promise. Every parent needs to understand that. I'm helping you to have a promise of a blessed life, that it may be well with thee. Every parent needs to understand, I want it to be well with my child. Because of that, I'm going to demand that they obey. I'm going to demand that they honor. Because that's how God wants them to be raised. Wow. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Don't go out and live one way and then tell them that do as I say and not as I do. You're provoking them. That's exactly what that is. You're disciplining them for something that you're doing. You're provoking them. We could go on about that. But and your fathers provoke, and he talks about your father because the fathers had the spiritual headship of the home. And your fathers provoke not your children to wrath, but he says to you, it's your responsibility. Now both of you will give an account, but it will fall largely upon the father in the house, the authority in the house. And he says to that authority, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Whether you know the Lord or not, you'll give an account. Every parent. What you did or what you failed to do and bringing them up. For John the Baptist to achieve all that he was to achieve. And can you imagine how Satan was working, trying to keep him from doing what he did? If he would not fulfill the prophecies of what he was to do, that would hinder the prophecies being fulfilled of the Messiah. Because Jesus taught until John this happened. Now that John is the messenger and this is what he was to do, I guarantee you there was a spiritual battle going on to try to keep John from ever being born and then to keep John from ever being raised as God would want him to be raised. God gave John the Baptist to a terrific couple. To Zacharias and Elizabeth. Look what the Bible says about them. Verse 6. And they were both righteous before God. Walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord. Blameless. This example of this no greater prophet than John. And God records who he allowed to raise him. Who he blessed them with. And then it says about his parents, who was to raise this forerunner for the Lord Jesus Christ, that they were righteous in God's eyes and blameless concerning God's commandments and ordinances. Now, this would not have been an easy thing for them to do. From the last of God speaking to man to the beginning of the New Testament, 400 silent years. Where there's no other prophecies. There was no visions for 400 years. Humanity continued going down a wrong road. The Jews during that time were totally destroyed. The temple was destroyed. And we find that Rome, after these 400 years, all the things that happened during those 400 silent years, very dark, the dark ages, we find that as it picks back up, the scriptures pick back up, and now they start revealing this New Testament church age has just begun. Now John has come. We find the Jews underneath in Jerusalem under Roman rule. Rome is the superpower of the earth. The Jews live in fear of Rome and the Roman soldiers. They allow them to have a type of religion. But whatever their religion was had to be approved by Rome. And they would allow them even to have their own priests and have their own set of laws and rules. And the Jews would hold on to some of the Old Testament. They would hold on to some of the commandments of the Old Testament. They would hold on to these, and they were the sects that rose up during that time and were very prominent in this beginning with the scribes and the Pharisees. And if you would read what Jesus had to say about the scribes and the Pharisees, you'd realize that they had polluted the office of the priests. They had actually polluted what God had commanded them to live by in the Old Testament, prophets and the law. But there was a family that stayed faithful to God through it all. Which meant that they were probably raised by a family that had been faithful to God. Which means that they had probably been raised by a family that had been faithful to God. And for 400 years, there was a remnant of those who had stayed faithful to God. And now the New Testament begins with this coming of John and reveals that there were two that was, I'd say, focused on God. The ways of God and not on the changing ways of the world. Righteous in God's eyes, not righteous in the eyes of the Pharisees, not righteous in the eyes of the philosophers, not righteous in the eyes of mankind. They were both righteous before God and blameless. Concerning God's commandments and ordinances, this blameless does not mean sinless. If so, then we could not have you would not have a pastor here tonight that would qualify. You would not have deacons to qualify if that word blameless means to be sinless. It doesn't mean that. Sinless, not sinless, but blameless means not living in sin. You're not find any sin that has control over that individual. You'll not find that individual with any kind of a satanic control in their life, a vice. And they were blameless. Parents remain faithful. Even through the trials. That's important. This couple remained faithful even through the trials of their life. See, trials, in those verses, you see that, yeah? When the Bible says in verse 7, and they had no child. Even though they were the servants of God, she was not able to conceive. In the time that they would have lived in, this would have been looked at on as a punishment from God. This was because they knew that God was the one that gives us our children. Children are a heritage of the Lord. And now you're serving God and you have this position of a priest and she is your faithful wife and you're able to serve the Lord and yet not have children to raise for Him. This would have been a huge trial in their lives. Matter of fact, if you look down to verse 25, after the angel told them what was going to take place, this is what Elizabeth says. Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Everywhere I went, the men would look at me and said, she must have done something evil because God has kept her from having children. She must have some kind of a hidden sin in her life. And yet they call themselves servants of God. And yet they're not being blessed by God. If they were blessed by God, they would have children. We know this because of what the Bible says. They would have had a difficult time. And they were a reproach among men. She even says that. Can you imagine how they both would have been praying and fasting for children? I know some that cannot have children, and I'll tell you what, it just breaks my heart. The Likens, Brian and Katie. Many of you knew them, and they were just couldn't have children. They were praying and fasting, and we prayed and we fasted, and then in God's timing, praise the Lord. I mean, the story there is that just only a miracle of God brought that little baby into their lives. I think of our own daughter, Crystal and Rusty, although they had Peyton, but lost the twins, and then they wanted children, and for those years, and didn't think that they were going to be able to have any more children. There was praying and fasting. They would have been praying and fasting. God, we're serving you. And yet you have this trial in our lives. For almost all their married lives. Look what it says about that. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. It just wasn't 1 year, wasn't 2 years, wasn't 5 years, probably more than 10, 15, 20 years. Because it says, and they both were now well stricken in years. Now, that's a great lesson right there. Righteousness does not keep us from trials. They were righteous. They were blameless. And yet they dealt with some very difficult trials in their day. Righteousness does not keep us from trials, but it does assure us of a greater purpose. When we have to have trials. I love what John says in John chapter 15. Let me just read it to you here. I'm almost done, so stay with me here. John 15 says this. I am the true vine, Jesus teaching his disciples. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, you're living righteously, you're serving God, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. If you're able to bring forth more fruit, God is going to purge you, and you're going to be going through some trials, not to discourage you and not to beat you down, but to better strengthen you to even produce more fruit. They were righteous before God. They were blameless in God's eyes, and yet they were under tremendous trials. But it was all because God had a bigger picture. Their trials only allowed their light or their testimony to shine even brighter. Whatever trials you go through, if you stay faithful, if you stay committed to God, if you continue to be blameless, whatever trial you're going through, can I tell you that it will eventually allow your testimony to be brighter? It will. It will. Luke in chapter 1 and verse 8, it says this, and it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course. He was well stricken in age. He had been having this. He had not, his wife now had possibly given up on the fact of them having any children, but it didn't keep him from doing his serving God. Their service or commitment to God did not decline, but rather they allowed it to grow their faith and be ready for God's will for their future lives. I know of one other. In closing, I want you to turn there with me. Job chapter 2. That would possibly have as powerful of a testimony as what this would become when they find out that she is expecting. They'd given up on it, but even though they gave up on having a child, they didn't give up on their service to God. Even though they were going through some trials, they did not let the trial keep them from their commitment to God. They just continued to be faithful. They continued to be blameless before God. You know the story of Job. How many would have did what his wife did over much less? You lost your job? Well, curse God and die. You got sick? Curse God and God. Just die. You lost a loved one? How could God do that to you? Just curse God and die. Isn't that the attitude today? If God did allow this, I'm not going to serve Him anymore. I'm not going to be committed. I'm not going to be blameless. Sure glad Job had the very same faith, commitment to God, Zacharias and Elizabeth had. After all that happened to Job in chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." But then it says in chapter 2 and verse 9, "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." But he said unto her, and anybody that tells you that, Christian, I don't care if it's your husband, your wife, your child, your parent, what, you need to respond the same way. But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips?" John's ministry began with his upbringing. He would have never been taught the things that he was taught. He would have never had the example that he had to look to if they had have given up on God because of a trial. God's placed that in there for you and I. Principles the very same today. Do you have a John the Baptist in your womb? You have a John the Baptist that you're raising? I don't know. I don't know what God has equipped your child for, but I do know He's equipped him or her for His will for that life. And what we as parents need to do, stay focused on God. Be committed to be the example that God wants me to be. Be blameless. Do not get caught up in some sin. Do not be so selfish that you put your feelings ahead of the purpose that God has you there to be. Blameless. Concerning God's commands, concerning God's ordinances. John's ministry began with his upbringing. So were your children. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Began with how he was raised. He still had a free will. He still had a free will. God equipped him for his will, but he still had a free will. What a blessing to have a parent that understands that. And they are willing to sacrifice and do whatever they have to do to give their children the best chance to turn out right. The best chance to fulfill God's will for their lives. Praise God for that parent. I'm going to have a musical invitation tonight. Very seldom do we, but we have an invitation at every service. If God spoke to you tonight, you need to come for whatever reason. Right now is the opportunity. You come. Never put off responding to God. And you present yourself. As you come to church, to present yourself to hear from God. When you hear from God and when He says to do something, just commit to it. Don't put it off. You never know when it might be the last opportunity you have to commit to that. Satan could blind you to it, talk you out of it. Commit to it as soon as God reveals it to you. Anyone else? Anyone else? You need to come tonight. Father, we love You. Thank You, Lord God, for the truth of Your Word. Thank You for this study in the life of John as You've revealed things that we need to look to and be helped by. Lord, thank You for the example of godly parents and how that You've recorded their example for us to learn from. I pray that You just continue to bless and direct in each one of our lives. Get us home safely tonight. Bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name, amen.